Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Here we go, a Hoosier Report for Tuesday, April 17th. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. A lot of stuff to get to today. A lot of headlines and recruiting news out there I want to touch on in this very first segment, so we're going to quickly work through things so we can include a lot of content here to get things started today. Glad you're with us. Busy show Tuesdays. Tuesdays is always one of those shows where I'm glad it's Tuesday. I'm glad we get the chance to talk with some of our guests. We've kind of got a great mix, I think, on Tuesday, so we'll get right to the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today, once we get through a lot of recruiting notes and some headlines of interest to you here in a few moments in segment one. Later on, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle. He'll be with us in the second segment today. Greg, obviously, a columnist with the Indianapolis Star, and you just never know what you're going to get from Greg Doyle. He's going to make you smile, going to make you laugh, may even make you cringe with one of his opinions as well. But there's no one guest that I have ever had on the program, at least on a regular basis, that draws as much feedback as what Greg does, both good and bad. There were people, IU fans, that when he was making prediction of Kansas and saying he was here in Kansas months and months ago for Romeo Langford, were absolutely just irate with him and let him know that on social media as well. But Greg will be with us. I'm sure we'll get into Romeo with his announcement coming up. Greg really didn't have a strong prediction a week ago. We'll check back in with him on that. Also, Greg covering the Pacers very closely. Now's the time to watch NBA basketball. As much as I love the game, and I touched some on this yesterday, now is the time to watch NBA basketball. There's a little bit more effort. The games seem to have a better and more competitive flow to them at this time of the season. And it's hard with all the other options we have for a great part of the winter, high school, of course, and college and other as well. It's hard to get into the NBA. But now's the time with high school gone and college out that we'll talk more about the NBA and the playoffs and the Pacers and Victor Oladipo. And speaking of Oladipo, he had some interesting comments about Romeo Langford yesterday, but we'll share those here in just a moment. But I'm sure we'll get into all of that and more with Greg Doyle when he's with us. And then segment three, we'll have Mike Pegram of Pegs.com to talk some IU basketball, IU recruiting. Mike was at the spring game on Saturday. We talked some about that yesterday with Zach Osterman, but we'll have more spring game talk today as well. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Oladipo yesterday, it was earlier in the week after a practice. He was headed to meet the media, give the traditional comments as the playoffs are here. And one of the assistant coaches, Bill Baino of Indiana Pacers, kind of just walking through the room at the time, jokingly said, "Before you get started, I've got a question for you," knowing that obviously Oladipo is an IU guy, an IU alumni. He said, "Will IU sign Romeo Langford?" And he had some interesting comments, didn't spend a lot of time on it, as you wouldn't expect at Oladipo too, but he had cracked a big smile when the question was asked, and he said, quote, "Oh, he's going to be in the NBA. He's going to be real good. He's really talented. Hopefully he makes the right choice." And someone in the media crowd followed up with, "Would he look good in candy stripes?" asking Oladipo that. And, of course, with even a bigger smile, Oladipo replies, yeah, he would. So interesting. I mean, you don't expect high school basketball players' names to come up in the even though it was just kind of a throw-to press conference with an NBA player, but that's where we're at with this Romeo Langford thing. It is the chief storyline of today. It's the chief storyline of the next couple weeks, and it's been one of the biggest stories ever that I can remember in sports in Southern Indiana and maybe even in the state of Indiana. Just really unbelievable. And the people that are planning, that I hear from on Twitter, that I hear from in person, that are planning to come to the announcement on April 30th, it really leaves me no doubt that there's probably going to be a full gym on April 30th for the announcement. I know there's been some thought, well, we know there'll be a good crowd, but will it be full? And with people coming in from out of the area, making the trip in, some IU fans I know hooking up in other parts of the state and coming down, I think it will be no question, has to be full with that sort of interest, because you know the New Albany fans and the local people are definitely going to come out. So you add some others, and no reason the doghouse shouldn't be full on Monday, April 30th. A couple other things before we get into a lot of recruiting stuff today. Thomas Bryant has been named to the All-NBA G League first team, playing with the South Bay Lakers for a great part of the season. He had a really good season for them, got an opportunity or two to get called up for the L.A. Lakers with the kind of the farm system set up that the G League now has. And then a lot of recruiting stuff to get to. We're to the point where the final rankings are coming out from different services for the 2018 class. In the ESPN 100 rankings for the class of 2018, Jerome Hunter is the only IU basketball signee that's included. He's ranked number 64 out of the 100 that's listed. Romeo Langford in those final ESPN rankings comes in at number 5. Also, Rivals, they released their final rankings for the 2018 class. Jerome Hunter, 49. He's a 4-star in their rankings. Robert Fennessy, a 4-star at 99. Demezi Anderson, also a 4-star, ranked number 114 by Rivals. And Jake Forrester, also a 4-star, coming in at 127 in the final Rivals rankings. Romeo, number 6 in the Rivals rankings. He's a 5-star prospect. So interesting that IU signees, all of them 4-stars, all of them in the top 130 or so, with Forrester being the highest ranked player, as far I should say lowest ranked player at 127 in the rankings. So those are some final 2018 rankings in the book. Also yesterday, USA Today announced their all USA Indiana boys basketball team. No surprise that Romeo Langford of New Albany is player of the year, and also on the first team, Eric Hunter of Indianapolis Tinley on the first team. He'll go to Purdue. Robert Fennessy of McCutcheon, who will play at Indiana, on the first team. Here's a little bit of a surprise. He didn't make the Associated Press first team, but he does the USA Today first team, Demezi Anderson, who will play at Indiana as well. He makes the first team. Then the fifth member from LaPorte La Lemire, really not a four-year high school like the others included, but they were eligible for these USA Today awards. Isaiah Stewart rounds out the top five. The second five, second team, I should say, is Armand Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, who Indiana is recruiting. Keon Brooks of Fort Wayne North, who Indiana obviously recruiting, and is an underclassman like Franklin. And Trace Jackson Davis, a 2019 kid, on the second team. Aaron Henry of Ben Davis, a senior, will go to Michigan State. He was on the second team, and the second team is rounded out by Tiger Campbell, another LaPorte La Lemire player. Again, those LaPorte guys, La Lemire guys, were not eligible for the AP All-State team, so it's interesting to see that Demezi doesn't make the AP All-State, but does make the USA Today basically All-State team, All-Indiana team, as they call it. Speaking of Trace Jackson Davis, he was named the MIC Conference Boys Basketball Player of the Year, and that is definitely a big award, because obviously if you follow high school basketball in our state, you know that the MIC Conference is one of the best in the state. You've got Ben Davis, you've got Warren Central, Carmel, Indianapolis Pike, a very, very good Center Grove is in there. It's a very, very tough conference in all sports, football, basketball, and beyond. So for an underclassman to be named Player of the Year in a year where Warren Central goes undefeated from that conference and wins the state championship, a big award for Trace Jackson Davis as an underclassman. Also, speaking of Davis, Jackson Davis, a lot of recruiting activity with him right now. He had an in-home visit with Matt Painter of Purdue yesterday. Ohio State is expected to visit with Trace Jackson Davis and his family today. Michigan State is on Wednesday, and Indiana, Iowa, and UCLA have already been in at this point in the spring. So his recruiting, there's no question about it. He's been rising in the national rankings. He had a great senior year despite having a little sickness there in the second half of the season. But his recruiting, is, I think, will explode even more through these live evaluation periods coming up here in a couple weekends in the spring. And then, of course, I'm sure plenty of activity for him in July when coaches can get back out on the road. Also, interesting that Kyle Nedenrip did a story on Alex Hemingway of Castle down in Evansville, kind of updating his recruiting. A lot of Division I offers and a lot of interest for him. You can put Indiana in the column for Hemingway that are very interested. In fact, the story had a quote, if I can find it, from Hemingway. He said, quote, speaking of Indiana here, quote, they are really on me hard. I feel like once they see me in the live period, they will get a better evaluation and we'll go from there. So no offer yet, it doesn't sound like, for Alex Hemingway, but Nebraska, a lot of other programs in the Big Ten and in this area, the Midwestern area, looking at Hemingway, and I'm sure decisions will be made about him, maybe even as early as the two spring evaluation periods coming up here in just a little bit. One final note, I know we had a ton of talk on this program about Seymour High School, covering all the great games that took place there over the course of the state tournament. Some amazing crowds, really at all levels, starting with sectional. I guess the only night where there wasn't a full house would have been the Tuesday night of sectional play. And even that night, there were, for a Tuesday night, where was a good crowd there. New Albany, Romeo didn't play that night. But some good games, and crowd came out early to that had the tickets and to go ahead and take advantage of them. There was a story yesterday, kind of a season recap series that Kyle Nedenrip has been doing with IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox. And the last story we spoke some about it with Chad Gilbert yesterday, was about potential rule changes and things being polled to the membership as far as maybe some improvements and changes that could be made in all different sports as far as rules and things like that. But this most recent piece that came out earlier with Kyle and Commissioner Cox talked about the ticket issues at some of the venues this year. And interesting stance from Bobby Cox. I'm not sure that it's the wrong stance, but it is interesting, and it's drawn some feedback from fans that were a little teed off. They did not get tickets to the state tournament. Maybe it seemed like the semi-state round was really the big issue as far as people getting left out, season ticket holders and regular fans of other schools getting left out. But interesting things that Bobby Cox shared with Kyle Nedenrip. First off, for the state finals as a whole, 26,879 fans. That's the best number since 2014. And keep in mind, there was a snowstorm. 11 inches of snow came down on state finals Saturday in Indianapolis. The first session had a crowd of 13,127 fans, which was the most in a decade for that morning session, which includes Class A and 2A. And I say that to start this conversation because that tells you that, yeah, the Romeo and Seymour venue were obviously the cake of the whole tournament, but there were some interest. Interest was up, I think, in a lot of areas, with Morristown having a really good team, having a really good following. Of course, you've always got Bar Reeve that's going to have a good following. But here's what was interesting from Cox on Seymour. He said that Cox said, and I'm reading from the article, the Seymour sectional generated $67,000 of net revenue after expenses to be split between six schools, which would be Bedford North Lawrence, Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, Jennings County, New Albany, and Seymour. That's just in the sectional round alone. In fact, Cox would go on to say in the next paragraph, quote, that is unheard of. The revenue was five or six times more than every other site. It wasn't only New Albany, but Floyd Central and Jeffersonville were among the best teams in the state. When he was asked about tickets and, you know, should there be some changes in semi-states in the future, and honestly, my question to Kyle and others would be, will we ever have this problem again? We've had good semi-state crowds most years, but will we ever have a situation where tickets are being scalped for $100+ to see one of the best players that's ever come through our state? But Cox's take on it is, it's hard to call up, and I agree, it is, to call up a Bankers Life Fieldhouse or to rent bigger facilities like the new Ford Center, which is beautiful down at Evansville. And there's also a big ticket price that goes with that, whereas if the semi-state round and below are played at high schools, high schools are going to benefit. The IHSA and its host sites are going to benefit off of it much more greatly than if you're paying out a $20,000 rent for one day of a big usage of a big facility, first-class facility, like a Ford Center in Evansville or the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum up in Fort Wayne. But Cox's take on it is, and I'm just, this is another quote I'm going to read, quote, "It's a good problem to have if it's sold out. What's wrong with a tough ticket? The Pacers don't move their game. If they are sold out, the Colts don't move their game to the Colts don't move to Jerry World if they sell out Lucas Oil Stadium. Seymour's Gym holds 8,000 people. If you can't get a ticket, sorry for your luck. I understand the frustration, but it's not that easy just to move the game." So that comment right there, I think, has gotten Commissioner Cox a little feedback from some diehard New Albany fans and others that maybe did not get a ticket to the game that had been at all the other rounds of the tournament and obviously had season tickets at New Albany. Just a tough situation. Don't know exactly what the right answer would be, but also don't know that the IHSA will ever have the same situation to go through again. I think crowds will be good at that level every year, but will they be selling again tickets for $100+ scalping them? I don't quite know that we'll see that again, at least in the next handful of years. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday night. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head to commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on this day, and it's presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, you got the chance to cover the big Pacers win, the first round of the playoffs. We had just been talking some last time you joined us about Victor Oladipo and kind of the match made in heaven situation for him back in the state of Indiana playing basketball, and that situation got a lot better because he had 32 points and looked absolutely brilliant against the Cavaliers and LeBron.
Yeah, Victor, this is Victor's coming out party nationally. Around the state, we already know, you know, how good he is. And we didn't know 6 months ago. We didn't know. Nobody knew how good he was. I mean, he was a career 16-point-a-game scorer, 16, when the trade was made, and so we didn't know. Well, he's scoring 24 game this year. He's a lot better than what he's shown. He's getting the chance here. So we figured it out. Well, the rest of the country, because the Pacers were on national TV exactly one time all year, once all year, and that was the Paul George game. So they were on national TV one time this year, and that was so the country could watch Indiana hate Paul George. It wasn't about Oladipo at all. Well, Oladipo is on TV now, and folks are seeing it. And this is his, like I say, this is his coming out party, and he was up to the task of the night, 32 points in 37 minutes. You know, LeBron had the triple-double, but Oladipo was the best player on the floor that night.
I did not realize that the Pacers, and again, I've self-admittedly am not a huge NBA guy and don't really talk much Pacers until we get to playoffs and bring it up with you, but how does it happen you're on national TV one time with all the networks, all the games, and it's not like the Pacers are a bad franchise or at the bottom of the conference. They've had a great year and some interesting players, and is it just because they maybe weren't expected to be this good and the schedule was done long ago? But how does Indiana only end up on national TV one time before the playoffs?
Because the NBA is a star-driven league in all ways, whether it's attendance or who's going to make the NBA Finals, you know, all that stuff. And TV ratings are all about stars. Folks, you know, the world has changed. Folks don't just want to watch basketball anymore. They want to watch LeBron. They want to watch Westbrook. They want to watch Steph Curry. And so if you, and I don't know what the numbers are, but if you were to look at the nationally televised games this year, and I guess, you know, ESPN does them, TNT does them, ABC does them, whatever all the networks are, the regular season, I don't know how many hundreds of games that is, I would guarantee you that LeBron, let's see, so that's the Cavaliers and the Warriors are probably a third of those games, maybe half of those games. Everybody else is just fighting for scraps. And the Pacers, nobody knew how good they were going to be. So, yeah, the schedule's made up well in advance before the season. For the same reason that the Pacers' attendance this year is actually down, as good as they are and as much as the city loves this team, attendance is down because season tickets are purchased ahead of time. There's a lag. You'll see them on TV more next year, and you'll see the field house sell out more next year. But there's a lag this year, both locally and nationally.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Again, for a guy that's, you know, I turn on the big games, the Christmas games, see LeBron, see the stars. I'm exactly what you described when you talked about typical NBA fans these days. But for a guy that hadn't seen him play a whole bunch and has followed some of the headlines and begun to watch the playoffs a little bit more, can this Indiana team, who got one, I know it's an important one to get, the first game and on the road, can they win this series?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they can. And that's, you know, don't you have to listen to me saying that. Tim Legler on ESPN wasn't saying this before the game. Like, no one was saying this before because, I mean, who knew this was going to happen? The Pacers won 3 out of 4 this year in the series, but there's a reason nobody pays attention to the NBA until the playoffs start because the regular season really doesn't matter, certainly not for the great teams. The great teams turn it on when it's time to turn it on. Well, LeBron, they couldn't turn it on, or they tried, the Pacers turned them off. So Legler, after game one, you know, I'm watching him on ESPN, he's basically saying, I mean, he said, the Cavaliers are in trouble. And granted, it's a make or miss sport, so this goes for a lot of things. But really, you know, true basketball people understand when you say something like, if they're not making the shots, they're in trouble. Well, that's not as stupid as it sounds. I mean, they're going to make some shots. The question is at what level. Legler's saying, if they're not hitting some of the threes that LeBron's setting up, they're not going to beat the Pacers. And this is true. The thing is, the Cavaliers live and die with the three, and living because LeBron gets mugged and ganged up on, and so he needs help. And he's going to get his, but is his supporting cast going to get theirs? If they don't get theirs, they're in trouble. They don't have Kyrie Irving anymore to get his. The Pacers aren't that way. You know, they score in different ways, and they depend on Oladipo to score a lot, but he's going to get his because he doesn't need to hit a bunch of threes. He'll attack the rim and whatnot. So, yeah, the Pacers are going to get theirs. The question is, the Cavaliers are going to get theirs. And after one game, you have to wonder.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us Tuesdays here on the Hoosier Report. It's presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, Victor Oladipo, and I talked some yesterday with Zach Osterman about the story in the Players Tribune that he penned or was involved with that I thought was really great. And as much as a pro-Indiana guy that Oladipo is and his love for IU still shines out very often, I thought it was very interesting. He was asked about Romeo Langford, not really by a reporter, but were you there when he was asked about Romeo?
No.
Okay, he was asked about, I guess, after a practice recently, one of the Pacers' assistants was trotting through the locker room or wherever the pop-up opportunity to talk with him happened at and said, before we get started, I want to ask you a question. Was IU going to sign Romeo Langford? And that, of course, that got a big smile from Oladipo, and I'm looking at the story right now. It says, quote, oh, he's going to make it. Let me start over. Quote, oh, he's going to be in the NBA. He's going to be real good. He's really talented. Hopefully he makes the right choice. And then some reporter followed up, you can hear on the video clip, with would he look good in candy stripes? And with a big, big grin, he says, yeah, he would. So just thought it was funny that the guy that loves Indiana basketball and has embraced this state, and this state has sure embraced him now at the professional level, is trying to do a little recruiting for Coach Miller down in Bloomington.
Yeah, and let's make it clear that Oladipo was asked that question. You know, he didn't go volunteering,
sure,
looking to do this. He's not trying to turn the heat up on Romeo. Romeo's got enough heat on him already. But if you ask an IU guy, would he look good in candy stripes? Well, of course he would. But, like, Oladipo is a great guy. I mean, there's a reason why this team is so loved and Oladipo is so loved because they're all great guys. Like Thaddeus Young is unbelievable good. Glenn Robinson III, unbelievable. Darren Collison, I can go down the list. Miles Turner. Sabonis is the nicest guy. Domantas Sabonis might be the nicest human being on planet Earth. He might be the nicest man in the world, Sabonis. Anyway, they're all just lovable guys. So I just want to say that real quick about Oladipo. But yeah, Romeo is so good. I mean, like, he's transcendent good. Nobody's asking, you know, a year ago, of course, Chris Wilkes didn't take it this late into the game. But if Chris Wilkes had gone into April, having not picked UCLA yet, nobody's going to ask Oladipo. So you think Chris is going to go to Indiana? It just wouldn't have happened. Because as good as Wilkes was, he's a McDonald's All-American. He'll play in the NBA someday. Romeo's different. We've seen great players in our state, obviously. Every year there's great players. Kyle Guy's at the game. Every year there's great players. But, you know, there's great, and there's that extra little percentile that just kind of is off the charts. And Romeo's in that extra percentile, and everybody knows it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I think for anybody that wonders why we talk about Romeo so much, why you and the Indianapolis Star as a whole, Kyle and Zach, have spent time writing about him coming down to games, anybody that doesn't understand the type of storyline this is and probably will continue to be, especially if he stays in state, I think, and is right here in front of everybody to continue covering on a daily basis, they need to come to the announcement on April 30th and see the turnout that I expect, not just from the New Albany faithful that have been with Romeo almost every step of the way over the last 4 years, but also just Indiana fans that I think will pack the gym in general. I mean, we're going to see a kid announce his high school or his college choice, excuse me, in front of potentially 4,000-plus people. That's just unbelievable.
Oh, no, way over that. And my question is one of logistics, selfishly, but also, you know, for everybody else. But there's going to be more than four.
Well, the gym holds four, just a shade over that, maybe. So
but
I don't
more
know
than
if
four is going to show up.
I don't know
what
if
are
they'll
we going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. But
and here's a question. Like, I'm in the media, and I kind of need to be there. Yeah, I want to be there, but I need to be there. What do you think? Like, is the school equipped to handle what's going to happen? Because there's going to be it's going to fill up, and there's going to be streams of people trying to get in. Who's going to tell them to go away? Someone's got to tell them to go away.
Zach Osterman and I asked him this yesterday. I said, from a media perspective, do you think that there's going to be any other signing that you can compare or announcement that you can compare to what is about to happen? And we don't know exactly what is about to happen. We all have our thoughts and ideas, but I think we're all on the same page. He said Cody Zeller, and I think I asked him this, Cody Zeller, 75, 80 media members when he committed to Indiana at Washington's gym, and the gym really wasn't a third full. That's obviously a big gym down at the Hatchet House, but I predict well over 100 media people.
Oh, the Star's going to send. I got to look at our list. I had no idea. I told my bosses, hey, if we only want one person there, normally I give away stuff. Like I told you, I'm going to come to certain games, and I didn't go to any of them because Kyle Nednerup wanted to go. And, you know, he's a high school beat writer, and I defer. Like, that's your deal. I told my bosses it was yesterday in an email, I'm not deferring on this one. If we're sending one person to New Albany, I'm the one. It's mine. And I got an email back, no, we're sending seven. So we're sending, three writers, a couple photographers, a video person, and also someone just to kind of do something else. I mean, we're sending in, so anyway, we got seven going ourselves. And I'm not sure that's enough.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, always great to catch up. Look forward to hopefully seeing you on the 30th of this month. I know we'll talk
again. I got to say something real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yep.
Flint, Michigan, I don't know if folks realize this, 4 years later, they still don't have clean water.
Mm-hmm.
They think they might. There's conflicting reports, but the people in Flint don't think they do. They're scared to death to drink it. Well, there's an AAU event up in Fishers, Indiana, just north of Indianapolis, northeast, this weekend. Friday through Sunday, they're turning this into a water donation for Flint, Michigan, because there's two teams from Flint there, and the jerseys has 810 their area code on the front of their jersey, and the one is the shape of a water bottle. Just a team of fifth graders and a team of seventh graders, and they're asking for folks to show up and bring a case of water, and there's gonna be a U-Haul out front. They hope to fill that U-Haul up and send a U-Haul truck full of water back to Flint. So I realize you guys are 2 hours south or wherever you are, but if anybody's going to be in the area, in my area this weekend, come to Fisher's, Best Choice Fieldhouse, bring up a case of water. And if you don't want to watch basketball, go about your merry way, but they're collecting water.
Absolutely. Great story. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, always fun to catch up. Enjoy the playoffs. I assume you'll be up close and personal for all of the Pacers-Cavs games, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Yep. Sounds good. Bye, Matt.
Bye-bye. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. They would like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Speaking now that Greg said that about the water situation in Flint and the fundraiser at an AAU event at Best Choice Fieldhouse this weekend, Ellis Miles, former Louisville player, from Compton, California, runs an AAU program, the Louisville Magic. They've got and had a lot of great players from the state of Kentucky and other areas as well. I saw him loading up a truck for this weekend's tournament. So I think there's a donation headed their way from Coach Miles, the former UofL player, and his Louisville Magic program. So pretty cool to see people come together around youth sports and help out another area. And obviously a very grave situation, the water situation at Flint, Michigan. So thanks to Greg for bringing that up. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com and get into some basketball, probably a little more Romeo, and we'll talk about the IU spring game on the football side as well. A quarterback race is developing on the football side. We need to talk more about it, and we'll do so next with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back here on this Tuesday show. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, always with us to talk IU basketball, football, and more. And Mike, I want to continue along with the topic that I started earlier in the program. A lot of little recruiting tidbits and updates today in our first segment. And one of those players who I did not mention is a potential grad transfer that is considering Indiana, 6'10", Trey Porter. He recently had an in-home visit with Archie Miller and the IU coaches. So from all accounts, grad transfers all the way down to 2018, Romeo Langford, 2019 players across the state and beyond. It's a full-on opportunity right now for this Indiana staff to make some inroads with players. And Trey Porter, a very intriguing guy when you mentioned 6'10" before his name.
Yeah, double-figure scorer for Old Dominion, which has always been a pretty good program in Conference USA. So, you know, Indiana could use some more front court depth. Jaron Davis is out for quite a while. And, you know, we'll see. He should be ready by the beginning of the season. But even with Jaron Davis in the mix, the rest of the guys are, you know, 6'8 and below, outside of Clifton Moore, who didn't really play much last year. So, you know, the size would be, helpful for the depth of the team. And somebody who's proven himself would, you know, that much more. And a grad transfer makes a lot of sense for Indiana. It doesn't take away from the recruitment of the junior class or their availability of scholarships for that class. So, you know, we've kind of been expecting them to move on somebody that makes, you know, roster sense for the team.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, joining us. What is the number one glaring need for this IU roster as it stands today? We're assuming that obviously Juwan Morgan returns after flirting with the NBA draft and getting some workouts and advice in from scouts. But what is the number one need right now for this roster based on what we know about next season?
Given the commitments they have to date, I think they could use more shooting. They could probably use a little bit more ball handling. You know, Robert Finnis, he's an unknown commodity, and Devontae Green is the only real, point guard possibility for the team besides Robert. So one more ball handler or one more shooter jump at you. Guards, you know, good guards. And then, like we just mentioned, front court depth. You know, they just don't have a lot of size. A lot of it depends on how much Clifton Moore can improve and what Deron Davis's health is, but those are two big unknowns. Juwan Morgan is effective down there, but he's a little bit undersized against some guys, so having another big body would be good insurance for this team.
As far as recruiting goes, in addition to a lot of the things I mentioned earlier with some visits and some school players IU checking in on, this time of year before the two weekends, which are forthcoming very quickly, for coaches to be out on the road. They'll be at the shoe circuits. Some of those stops will be in Indianapolis. But this is a time, you know, just like Trace Jackson Davis, he had Purdue in yesterday. I think Michigan State coming tomorrow. He's, you know, he's had an Ohio State maybe today. This is the time of year where Archie and all the other coaches are out, and it's a great time for in-home visits and those sort of things. So the IU staff, as far as going out to some in-homes, has been very busy in that regard as well, both in Indiana and outside of Indiana.
Right. Matthew Hurt, DJ Carton, these are outstanding players. It's a little bit of a Midwest theme outside of you know, Trendon Watford, and that one's obvious because of his brother being a really good IU player a few years ago. But they, you know, they've looked outside and found some really talented players that you know, have a connection to Indiana or are right there in the Midwest, and have a really nice class in the state also to draw from. And you know, guys like Armand Franklin may not have an Indiana offer, but they're right there. They have offers from other big schools, and he's doing his due diligence and making sure they see him, you know, in this home visit period. And this weekend, they can watch these players against the best in the country and then make some more decisions on who to actually offer scholarships for. They actually offered a scholarship this past weekend to DJ Carton. That one we knew was coming. He's a top 50 player, fits a need for the team, but you know, they finally did pull the trigger this weekend. And you know, but everyone seems to have a tie to either the Midwest or to the university right now.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, a little IU basketball recruiting before we jump into some other stuff. You know, I can't let you go through recruiting talk without giving your latest thoughts on the Romeo Langford saga. He'll make his announcement April 30th. I know there's been a ton of activity and interest from IU fans, and your message for him at times, I think, may be about ready to blow up. But what is the latest thought from Pegs today? What do you think?
Well, I think it's, and I've said this before, it's going to be a good sign if he makes a public announcement in Southern Indiana. You know, he's going to do that now with, you know, the big crowd probably that'll be there for things at the New Albany High School on April 30th. So I think that bodes well from Indiana. You know, we've been hearing that that the, you know, the status of an Indiana player, what it means for your career, for you after your college days are over, is helping the Hoosier cause. You know, just a lot of word from some of these all-star games that maybe some of the competition isn't as sure that they can overcome Indiana. But we are unable to say definitely what the man's going, what the boy's, basically the man, he's 18 now, is going to do on April 30th. So there is definitely some suspense. He does have a great, he really seems to identify well with Bryce Drew from Vanderbilt. So, you know, there's still some drama, I think, to play out here. You know, so it'll be very interesting to see what school he picks. But it is Indiana. I mean, it's a big deal because not only is Romeo a super talented player, Matt, as you know, I think he fits exactly what Indiana needs in terms of a shooter. We just talked about him needing a shooter, maybe needing some ball handling help. And he's underrated, I think, as a ball handler. So I think he fits kind of the needs of the Indiana team. So it's not only that they might, you know, that he's a top five national player. I think it's, you know, he kind of completes the roster. So that's a really big moment for Indiana basketball.
I would say, Mike, outside of being asked where Romeo's going to go, or do you have any insight, or do you know any news on what he's going to do April 30th, probably question number two, especially at this time of the year now that his high school season is over, that I get, and I know it's common discussion out in the community and beyond, is Romeo truly a one-and-done talent? Is he that good? Is he going to be projected to go to the NBA draft a year from this June? Do you think he'll, wherever he goes, will he be there for one season, multiple seasons? So now that we're through the All-Star games, and Paul Biancardi, I think, has done a good job already starting this conversation after some of the workouts that go along with the McDonald's and Jordan games that Romeo went through. But where do you see Romeo at? Let's say that he does choose Indiana on the 30th. Is he a one-and-done player? Do you believe he possesses that talent and will be projected here very soon as a guy that could leave in not this year's draft but the year following?
Yeah, I think if the draft were held now, he would be in the first round and probably not at the end of it. You know, and I've you know, I've had discussions, and when I was down in Atlanta for McDonald's All-American, you know, I watched the practices sitting among a lot of NBA people, and, you know, we did definitely did discuss him, and I feel that there is a very strong awareness of him and his talents, and I think one thing that Romeo has is that a lot of college prospects and high school prospects don't have is a clear position for the NBA. He's clearly has the size and the skill to be a two guard and the athleticism for the NBA. There's no question of whether he's big enough for this spot or he's got enough ball handling for this spot. He fits the spot, so that's always going to help his professional outlook. But I don't know I think a season, we've seen guys that look like they probably could go pretty high in the draft and then have a so-so freshman season in college, and their stock goes well down. I mean, look at Trevon Duvall at Duke. You know, he didn't have a bad season at Duke, but now he might fall out of the first round after being the number one guard in that class. So, you know, it's not a no-brainer that Romeo will play 1 or 2 years of college, or 1 year, be one and done, in my opinion. But I do think that he has a good fit for the NBA game, and that would be the expectation in my mind. But he has to be more consistent with his shot. He's been a little up and down with his shot, and he's had some wrist issues that may be playing part of it. We don't know until he has time to get healthy. And, you know, how does he adapt to, you know, players around him of similar talent? You know, that's a question. I've seen so much of him around the players that are not nearly as good as him, so he has to take a lot of bad shots. Not only bad shots, but he has to be really aggressive, let's put it that way. And how does he adapt when he doesn't need to be? Can he stop being super aggressive when it doesn't make sense to be? And a lot of questions to be answered, but he has a great outlook for the NBA because of a lot of the reasons I just went through.
Absolutely. MikePegramPeaks.com. I do want to switch gears and catch a little football here before we let you go. Spring practice is in the book. There's some interesting storylines developing for IU football coming out of the spring game, and I don't think anything is more major than a quarterback decision that has to be made, and it looks like it could be a decision that takes a little time and it might work its way pretty close to the season even potentially until we know who's going to get the nod for starting QB this year for the Hoosiers on the gridiron.
Yeah, Brandon Dawkins, is a somewhat of a proven commodity. I mean, he started for Arizona. He can run, he can throw. And, I would actually, if I had the odds on favorite, maybe you'd put him in that role coming into the August. But Peyton Ramsey had a really nice spring. He's scrappy. He's put on a lot of muscle that will really help him. Had a terrific run for a touchdown in the spring game on Saturday. I think I would expect him or Brandon Dawkins to win the role, and it'll be based on who, you know, plays well in August. Dawkins not having the chance to learn the offense before then, well, you know, that'll be something for him to overcome. And it was great, you know, Michael Penix showed a lot of raw ability in the spring. He's got some height, the lefty can run. Just terribly skinny right now. It's really strong arm, but he has a lot to go in terms of decision making. So I'm calling him a raw QB candidate right now, who I think could be in the competition and with some. Wouldn't be a shocker if he wanted, but I would say he would be less likely than the other two. All of this is adding to some interesting QB analysis in August when everybody comes back for camp.
Mike, where do you put this IU football team at here way early in the spring as far as the Big Ten Conference goes and what type of season that you project? I know there's a ton of things that still have to be answered and some key losses. Obviously, IU's Pro Day was one of the biggest that's ever been, so that tells you there are some voids that are going to have to be figured out. But, you know, what type of feeling are you getting? Should this be a pretty good season for IU football? Does it have the potential to be?
Yeah, this can be a 6-win and up team that goes to a bowl game. There's no doubt about that. They have some linebacker holes to fill. That was, where they have two guys that are looking to maybe get drafted or play in the NFL, and they only play two linebackers. But those guys that we saw in the spring seemed to, younger guys like Raekwon Jones and Tom Allenson and some others, showed a lot of potential there. Offensive line was praised by Coach Allen on Saturday, and they were a little bit of a sore point in last year's team. Everyone returned. Nobody graduated, so there's optimism in that regard. They play, a non-conference schedule that includes three very winnable games, Florida International, home game against Virginia, and Ball State at home. You know, they can win those three games. And the other three games, there's a lot of opportunities. Rutgers comes, they can beat Rutgers. They've done that recently. Maryland is coming to Indiana. It's definitely another game they can win. Purdue comes to Indiana. And they have Minnesota added, maybe a little bit more beatable team than like Wisconsin or somebody else from that other side that they've had drawn. So there's a real chance to get to six or seven wins. I don't know that they can get more than that, we'll see how good Brandon Dawkins is and Morgan Ellison was a good running back, and with the line maybe being better, they could have a pretty good balanced offense. I think it's a team that a 6 or 7 wins is definitely possible, and what I would actually project.
Mike Pegram of Peaks.com, always with us Tuesdays, always with a lot of insight on everything going on, but especially the Romeo Langford recruiting. And, Mike, I've said this time and time again, if you are a fan and you want to be in the gossip and get in the discussion, there's no place like Mike Pegram. Peaks.com, I should say, the message form. It's the place to go if you got a little time to kill to catch up with some of the latest and the gossip that's out there. It's really, Mike, and we've talked about this, so I don't even want to rehash it, but it's really amazing how detailed and how particular some of the fans are about the updates you provide and wanting more and hearing rumors. It's almost over the top, but it'll make you smile. So,
yeah, it's amazing to me how things have stayed interesting in the off season with Indiana through the years, and it's another one of those years that we're definitely having a lot to talk about, even though there's not any games being played right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, thanks for coming on. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, Matt. Take care.
And, of course, in addition to Mike, we always have Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com on Wednesdays. And here very soon we'll have Matt Weaver back with us. Matt's been with us the last couple of years as our chief football guy, keeping us posted on everything IU football, and it's about time to begin those regular discussions again as well. So Matt, part of the crew and the Peaks team, very good to the Hoosier Report, kind enough to join us each week here on the program to talk IU basketball, football, and more. One thing I did want to pass along, I talked with Scott Chalk yesterday. Scott is the executive director of the Kentucky Association of basketball coaches. He also is the coach at Lexington Dunbar and is the coach of the Kentucky Boys All-Star team this year that's going to take on the Indiana All-Stars in June. And he shared that tickets will be sold through the Kentucky Association of Basketball Coaches website, which is KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org, and asked me to pass that along. He said he has been getting a ton of calls from people that from Indiana, from New Albany, wanting to know how to get tickets for the Bellarmine game, because obviously the attendance there maxes out at 2,100 or so people. And I see now that I'm on the website myself, the ticket sales begin Monday, May 7th at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. So if you're wanting the opportunity to see Romeo and Sean East and Jim Shannon of New Albany all involved on the boys' side of that game, and you want to go across the river to Bellarmine and do so, you can get tickets starting May 7th at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. And then Jim Shannon told us earlier this week, or I should say last week, that New Albany is going to offer some ticket sales for its ticket holders, some really good seats and a special package coming up here over the next few weeks. So we'll wait for a date announcement on that. But the details for the All-Star Games as far as tickets go starting to come together. And this is another thing. It's a byproduct of Romeo and the success that he had with New Albany. But it's great to see people wanting to know how to buy tickets in advance to the All-Star game. There was a time where, show up at Bankers Life, and they still get a decent crowd in Indianapolis, but, it was a real easy ticket to get. And at Bankers Life, it will be. It's a huge facility. But the Louisville side, it's been in Owensboro. It's been in Lexington. It's been in Bowling Green. It's been in Frankfort. It's moved around all the time. It's been in small college gyms. It's been in high school gyms. And even though it's at Bellarmine this year and obviously can't fit everybody that would like to attend, it's still nice that there's an interest to get tickets and that there's going to be a sellout crowd, you have to believe, and that there just feels a little more importance to it this year. And again, we have Romeo Langford chiefly to thank for that. But tickets for the Bellarmine game on sale Monday, May 7th. Tickets will be sold at New Albany. I don't have all the details yet. We'll get those from Coach Shannon very soon for the game in Indianapolis. And then don't forget the teams, the Indiana team will play the juniors. That will be played. They'll make that announcement soon on where that will be at before the series. And also the Kentucky juniors and Indiana juniors are going to play, and those dates and details haven't been put together or announced just yet. So more coming on all of that. We'll keep you posted. So that will wrap it up for today. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget the 2018 Big X Sports Radio Golf Card is hot off the presses. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses for under $20 per round with a 2018 Big X Sports Radio Golf Card. Some of these courses are private. You're only going to be able to play them if you're a member or if you've got the Big X Sports Radio Golf Card. The supply is limited, so get yours today at BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. A couple other things. New Albany Jeff Baseball will play on Wednesday at New Albany. Unfortunately, that matches up with a Pacers-Cavs game. We cannot air the baseball game, but get out. It's a, I believe, 7 o'clock first pitch. I'll have to verify that. But good game. New Albany jumped all the way up to number 2, and I think the coaches poll in 4A. Jeffersonville's like number 4, so it's a great early season matchup of two really good programs here in Southern Indiana. That happens Wednesday. And also, don't forget, you can podcast the show at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search the Hoosier Report on Apple Podcast and listen to the show wherever you may be at your convenience on demand. We appreciate you tuning in no matter how you join us each day here on the show. I'll be back with you at 11 o'clock tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.